I'll tell you this. This was really interesting to me because today was such a beautiful day. If you got up a little early, I was, you know, outside on my porch a little while, and even as we were coming into Sunday school, it was just so cool and crisp and nice, wasn't it? You got that sense that fall is on the way. And I bet you three or four people across the course of the coming into Sunday school said to me, it just makes you ready for Andy Under the Stars, doesn't it? So we're going to have a great time. Vacation Bible School this week. Andy's coming up in October. We've got some special things planned coming ahead. I'm just glad to be part of what God is doing at First Baptist Church. Well, this morning's a special morning because today I'm coming to the conclusion of the series that I've been doing about bringing the blessing home, about how you take the biblical blessing and apply it to your family and bring God's blessing into your household. So over the past few weeks, we've looked at all of the different elements of that are contained in the blessing: a loving and appropriate touch, spoken words expressing high values, picturing a special future. And this final principle, the one we're going to look at together this morning, kind of brings it all into full circle, because after everything is said and done, there needs to be an expression of active commitment. Active commitment. It reminds us that when you talk about blessing your family, the blessing is not just something you say. The blessing is something you do. It is something you express within the walls of your home. It means you've made an active commitment to bring the blessing to life among the people you love the most, that you're personally involved in seeing it fulfilled in the lives of the people you care about, that you're hungry to bless your family, to bless your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your grandparents. And so you bring it home, not just with words, but with actions. There's a lot of places in the Bible where this idea of an active commitment is on display. But I think in the passage we read together a few moments ago, there in the Gospel of John, we see the greatest example of all from Jesus himself. If you remember what was going on when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, you remember it was the last night that he was going to spend with these men. They were in the upper room. They were observing the Passover, which would soon become the Lord's Supper. And Jesus understood, this is my last time with these men. There'll never be another opportunity for me to just spend time with them. And he was so careful to make sure that they had a place where they could step aside and there wouldn't be the crowds of people, so that he could talk to them, remind them of all the things he had taught them over the last 3 years, prepare them for what was about to happen with the crucifixion, and let them know in a powerful way, and I want you to know my blessing. I want to touch your life. In his actions, Jesus revealed the depth of his commitment to his followers. But more than that, he gave us a model. This is how you love. This is how you serve. This is how you bless with an active commitment. So let's take a few moments and let's look at what the Bible has to tell us in John 13. The first thing we see is this: Jesus sees the opportunity to bless his disciples. John 13:3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and he was going to God. John begins by saying, remember who this is. Jesus, who is about to bless his disciples, remember who he is. He came from God. He's going to God. There's never been anybody like him. He is God himself. And we recognize that the Son is honoring the Father in the way that he blesses his people. Jesus knew the timing was right to bless his men. He planned to use that meal to bless his apostles with an act of grace and a pattern for service. He wanted to bless them. You know, one of the distinctives of a biblical blessing is that it has to be offered by someone who has the authority to bestow it. If you're going to bless someone, if I'm going to bless you, if you're going to bless me, there has to be some reason that you have the authority to put that blessing in my life. That's true when you think about your children at home. It's true when you think about your grandchildren. You have that opportunity because of the relationship you have and the love that you've sown and the authority that you have to speak a blessing into their lives. A blessing that God will cause to stand. Blessings always flow from the greater to the lesser. And that's important to know because Jesus had all the authority on heaven and earth. Jesus had the authority over everybody, everywhere, all the time, about anything. There was nobody who would say, Jesus is my equal. And there is no one who would say, I am superior to Jesus. They recognized Jesus had ultimate authority. Think about this with me. Every word that his followers heard him utter was the literal word of God. You know, we talk about the Bible as the word of God, and it is because every word in this book was inspired by God. But think about the fact that as these men had traveled behind him, as he had carried them from town to town, from village to village, and spoken to crowds and touched lives, and taught parables, and led people, every time they heard him speak, it was God speaking into their lives. What does that tell us? Jesus had the authority to do anything he wanted to with and for his disciples. If he had chosen to do so, he could have given them kingdoms of this world. He could have given them possession and power beyond anything anybody could imagine. If he had blessed them the way a lot of people would expect to be blessed, he would have said, I'm going to give you such an abundance that you will never run out of physical things. I'm going to give you money beyond money. Kingdoms beyond kingdoms, power beyond power. And they would say, oh, we are so blessed because look at all the stuff that Jesus has given us. In fact, as they had arrived at the upper room earlier, that's exactly what the disciples had been arguing about. Who was the Lord's favorite? Who did he trust the most? Who deserved the most authority? Who would sit at his right hand and his left hand? Who is Jesus going to give the most blessing to? The disciples had no doubt the Lord blessed them, but who would be blessed the most? You see, they assumed Jesus would define greatness the way everybody else defines greatness. But Jesus had no interest in blessing them on their own terms. He had no interest in saying, because this is what you want, this is what I'm going to give you. Instead, he said, what I'm going to give you will change your life forever. He had greater plans. It's always critical to remember that the substance of a blessing is decided by the one who blesses and not the one being blessed. The one who blesses gets to choose what form the blessing will take. I'm a renegade in my family. Would you like to know that? I'm a renegade in my family. And by my family, I mean my wife and my children. Because every year, not long from now, everybody will sit down and they will say, okay, what's your list of things you want for Christmas this year? And I think that's a terrible thing to do. Everybody else likes to do it. Let me give you my list. These are the things I'd like. I'm thinking, you know me, you love me, you pick it out. That's not my job. What is that? Blessing. You decide the substance of the blessing. And that's exactly what the Lord was doing with his disciples. He was blessing them, but not the way they anticipated they would be blessed. Not taking the form of a blessing that they expected. Instead, Jesus was blessing them beyond anything they could have imagined. The Bible says this, "And he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." And through what he did, he used every element of the biblical blessing in a way that they would never forget. Across the course of that evening, he would take all of those qualities that we've already been looking at these last few weeks and make them real in the lives of his disciples. For instance, Jesus used a compassionate touch to bless his disciples. Quietly, purposefully, he went from man to man. One by one, he stopped in front of each man and he washed their feet. This was more than a symbolic gesture. This was a huge necessity in their lives. They had walked into the room earlier. They had seen the basin and they had seen the towel, and they recognized that everything was there for feet to be washed, but there was no servant in the room. So who's going to do it? Well, I'm not. I'm not either. It's not up to me to wash somebody else's dirty feet. Why would I do that? So this is what I think about. You know, we see that picture of the Last Supper of Jesus surrounded by his disciples. I think about the fact that we've got 12 men sitting at a low table, side by side, kind of sitting sideways, and everybody's trying to pretend nobody's feet stink. But they do. They're nasty. It's miles of walking, dusty roads. Nobody's going to clean it up. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And he went from man to man. They began to clean their feet. They had tried to pretend there was no dirt. Jesus chose not to overlook the filth. He chose to wash it away. They were all made clean by the Master's touch. None of them could believe that he, of all people, would kneel to wash their feet. That's the kind of thing that a servant does. The Master is not the one who humbles himself. How in the world can Jesus be the one who will wash his disciples' feet? But here's the thing. Jesus wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about his status. He was thinking about each one of them. He knew without his touch, they would never be clean. Not on the outside, not on the inside. If I don't touch you, you'll never be clean. Jesus is still doing the same thing today. He wants to touch you. He wants to touch your family. He wants to touch you with mercy and grace that only he can give. He wants to deal with sin and stains that we all struggle with. He wants your home to be blessed by his loving, grace-filled touch. But here's the thing. Since he's not here physically anymore, he wants to touch your family through you. Yes, he wants to touch your family. Yes, he wants to bring his grace and his cleansing power. But he has to use your hands and your feet because you're here and he's in heaven. And if somebody is going to physically touch them in a way that shows his love and grace, it's going to be you. So the question he wants you to ask is this: how can I reach out to make Jesus real to the ones I love? How can I serve my family in Jesus' name? How can I be the source of God's great love? And when you find the answer to that question, do it. Don't just think about it. Do it. In Jesus' name. Jesus used a blessing, a touch, to be a blessing. But he also used unforgettable words to bestow a blessing. When Jesus reached Peter, that apostle desperately tried to resist him. He knew, I'm not worthy of what he's doing. Peter looked down inside of himself and he said, I see too much wrong. I see too many sins. I see so much brokenness. Not me, Lord. Not me. You can never touch someone as unworthy as me. Jesus told him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If you won't let me touch you, if you won't let me make you clean outside and in, then you can't be part of what I'm doing. You can't be part of who I am. You can't be one of my followers. Christ wanted Peter to know a blessing extended must be gratefully received. It's not enough for somebody to reach out and offer a gift. You've also got to receive that gift. So Christmas comes and my family gathers around and I don't have a clue what's there because I wouldn't tell anybody anything I wanted because I don't know what I want anyway. So Judah says to me, I got you this gift and it's nice and it's beautiful and she does wonderful bows. Here's your Christmas present. But what if I say, I don't want it? Get that away from me. I don't know what it is, but I don't want it. How can you do something like that? And yet that's almost exactly what Peter was doing to the Lord. Whatever you've got, I don't want it. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. I don't want it. And Jesus said, Peter, you got a choice to make. I'm giving you the greatest thing you could possibly imagine. But you have to take it. I won't force it. You have to receive it. And Peter impulsively responded by declaring, well then, Lord, I want you to wash my hands and my head, not just my feet. And Jesus told him, but he who is bathed needs only wash his feet, and he's completely clean. Jesus was telling Peter, when the Lord acts, you can't take away from or add to whatever he is doing. Peter was saying, Lord, if this is your plan, then let's do this, but let's also do that. Jesus said, no, you don't add to the blessing. You just receive the blessing. You listen to what he is telling you. God's blessings come as he speaks. And the Bible is God's handbook for blessing your life. And our job is to receive every word that he has given us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know? I can pick up my Bible and I can read it and hear from God. And our job is to receive every word that comes through Scripture. We don't pick and choose. We don't say, I like this part, but I don't like that. That part makes me uncomfortable. And that part, I don't even quite understand yet. You just say, Lord, you said it. I believe it. I'll receive it. And the most lasting blessing you can give your family is to teach them to hear, to know, and trust what God says in his word, to teach them his eternal promises, to show them how it applies in their lives, to prepare them to stand on the word of God. Most of all, let your words be a reflection of his word. You bless your family when there's no contradiction between what he says and what you say. You bless your family when you say, this is what the Lord says. We will use this in our lives. We won't take from it. We won't add to it. We will receive it with gratitude. And as you bless your family, you lead them to a rock-solid faith in the Word of God. Anything less will not be enough. Anything more will not stand the test of time. Jesus is not through yet. He also blessed them with a hopeful future. When Jesus was finished, he returned to the table and he challenged them. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus was teaching them a critical lesson. He wants us to learn that lesson too. And it is this: God always blesses you so that you can be a blessing. God never blesses you so you can hold that blessing to yourself. So I haven't told anybody what I want for Christmas, but Judith gave me this beautiful present and I decided I would receive it. And I opened it up. What do you think it was? A 5-pound box of chocolates. I thought I didn't know what I wanted. This is exactly what I wanted. Which would make me have a wonderful Christmas time. Because what would I do? I would sit in the corner of the room while everybody else is celebrating the season and go, "Mine. All mine. Nobody touches this but me." What do you do? Who wants a piece? Who wants two pieces? Go ahead, have three. We'll enjoy it together because you know what? God always blesses you so that you can be a blessing. He never blesses you so you can say, "I will hold this to myself. I will keep this for my own. I'm not going to let anybody enjoy it. I'm not going to let anybody be touched by it. I have been blessed so I can be a blessing, so I can touch other people's lives." His plan for you, when we think about God's plan for our future, we usually think about, okay, let's think about what God has planned for me. We think about, okay, where does God want me to live? What does God want me to do? How does God want me to act? What kind of future has God planned for me? But the truth is, His plan for you is that you bless others wherever you go and whatever you do. Got a great group of students over here. You guys, some of you are just starting. Some of you are just about to finish. Some of you got finished last year. You know what God has planned for the rest of your life? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Neither do you. Some of you right now are sitting in those pews and you think, "I know exactly what I'm going to do." And 10 years from now, you're going to say, "How did I get here?" And all you can say is, "Because God blessed me. And here I am." I don't know what the future may hold, but this is what I do know. Wherever you are and whatever you do, whatever schools you choose, whatever profession you follow, wherever you live, whoever you share your life with, God's plan for you is that you be a blessing to the folks around you. That you touch people's lives and show them the love of Jesus. And that's His will for you. Everywhere. All the time. And guess what? And it's His will for you and you and you and you and me. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Blessings are to flow out of your life and into the lives of others, especially those who share your home. So never give up the chance to pour your life out for others, to serve in Jesus' name, to speak in Jesus' name, to share in Jesus' name. It sounds so simple, and yet so many times we overlook the chance to be a channel of blessing. So, here's what Kristen reminded us of a while ago. If you're going to bring the blessing home, you need to be a servant. Talk to our students, moms and dads, grandfathers, grandmothers. How are you going to bless your family? Well, I can't tell you all the things that are going on. I can't tell you what you're going to encounter or where they may need your help or where you're going to be able to give good advice or where you may be able to step in and do something. You know what I can tell you? If you're going to bless your family, you better keep your towel and basin handy because you're going to have to serve. You're going to have to serve. be ready. It all comes down to choosing to be a blessing. Jesus told his disciples, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He wants you to know this. The more you bless, the more you will be blessed. In the economy of heaven, there will never be a blessing shortage. There'll never be a time when God will say to you, I'm sorry, you've had your quota. I'm done. You're on your own. There's just no supply chain problem where the Lord is concerned. When God calls you to bless your family, He's calling you to discover that blessing and being blessed is a normal part of what it means to follow Jesus. So, this is the prayer we pray at the conclusion of a series of bringing the blessing home. It goes something like this. Bless me, Lord. Let me experience your saving touch. Let me hear your promises clearly and respond faithfully. Show me how to follow you and to bless as you bless. And as I follow, let me bring my family along. Through Jesus my Lord. Amen. So maybe today God is really calling you in a special way to be a blessing to your family. And it may mean that blessing your family begins with trusting Christ as your personal Savior. That He is holding out that gift of salvation and all you have to do is receive it. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. If that's what you want to do today, you come here and I will introduce you to the Savior. Or maybe part of blessing your family is we want to be part of what God is doing in this church through membership and fellowship. And you just want to come be a part of the church. Maybe God's dealing with you about something specific within your life and within your home. Is there something God wants you to do? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks, you come. Let's stand together. Let me ask you to be seated again just for a minute. Maggie, come join me up here. We got to talk about this a couple of weeks ago. And I love when somebody comes in and is very honest because she walked up to me and the first thing she said is, I am so scared. But it works out so well. Maggie Fleming comes this morning by statement, having trusted Christ the Savior but wanting to follow Him in baptism and membership at the church. Now, you're asking, who is Maggie? Well, Maggie belongs to Foster. They're getting married together next May. So, Foster, you come stand up here with her. And we are having a good time right now. We have just started doing our premarital counseling, and we're looking forward to next spring. And this is a great big step And Maggie, we're so glad that you're here. So glad you're going to be part of this church. If you want to let her know how glad you are for this decision, you let her know by saying amen.
Amen.
That's welcome.
It is.
You're going to have a great time being part of this fellowship. She's already been a great blessing in Bible school this year. And that was great. Now, I don't know about senior Bible school, but she was great with our children. Foster, I'm going to ask you to take Maggie. Y'all go up to the lobby, and we're going to let everybody come by and greet you and let you know how glad we are God's brought you to the church. You go right ahead. And that's exciting. Let me remind you, a lot going on this evening. There's a place for you. Children have activities going on. We've got youth activities going on. We've got a couples class that is meeting. And if you're with me in the fellowship hall, we're going to be visiting the Mount of the Beatitudes tonight with Max Lucado. So a lot of good things going on. You be back at 5 and we'll enjoy those together. Let's stand together now. And we'll have a last prayer and then one final song as we leave. Father, we do thank you for Maggie, Lord. We ask you to bless her as she and Foster are preparing to spend their lives together. Father, we just want to pray that you bless her as she follows Jesus and as they build their home upon Christ. And Father, we thank you that they're going to be such a blessing to one another. So Lord, keep your hand on them, bless them. And bless us as we go from this place. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give thanks.